jobs and get on with it. Though we all enjoyed competing against each other, we also realized that our coach rarely bothered to watch us play. His lack of interest resulted in us being pretty ragtag as a team, and it also meant that the A team never changed. This was really frustrating for those players who worked hard to move up the ranks but never got the opportunity, all because the coach couldn't be bothered. Often, when new members joined our team practice sessions, they would quit shortly afterwards because they realized they had next to no chance of progressing with the guy who was supposedly coaching us. We always had a few local supporters come to watch our practice, and our coach preferred to stand around and mingle with them. Then he did commit his time to helping us. He wasn't always like this, but at some point he'd gotten lazy and began to lack any of that real commitment and enthusiasm he once had. This obviously had a negative impact on us as a team. We would lose competitions, constantly, and get more than our fair share of yellow and red cards during games. Over time, we had evolved into a bunch of motley individuals who had become more interested in our own glory than that of the team. As a result of this, we didn't play as a team, the way a team should play, so we were easy to defeat. But with a coach who was more interested in the tabloids than he was developing his players, we knew it was just a matter of time before he got fired. That day couldn't come soon enough for us. We had become tired and embarrassed of being the laughingstock of the local amateur soccer scene. Fortunately, we got our wish before all the best players had left the squad, though we had seen a few good guys move on during this time, never to return. Our replacement coach couldn't have been more different. He was completely the opposite from the one who got the push. He monitored us all the time, and his engagement could not be questioned. Needless to say that our morale was once again restored, and we began to improve as a consequence. Sometimes on the amateur soccer circuit, it can be hard to find a person willing to coach a local team. Quite often, a well-intentioned individual will offer his services, not because he particularly wants to, but because there is no one else and he feels obliged to contribute. Despite the good intentions of these stand-in coaches, this is still totally the wrong reason to coach any team, often doing more harm than good. Coaching is one job where a real commitment and a genuine passion for the game are must-have qualities. Coaching is taking a player where he can't take himself. Bill McCartney. Number 3. Favoring players. You might think that your players would not notice if you favor particular individuals, but I can assure you that your every move you make is noticed by those you coach. The fundamental mistake of favoritism occurs often when there is a family member or someone close to you who is playing for the team you're coaching. It is therefore vital to detach yourself from personal relationships and make sure that everyone on the team gets the attention they deserve from you. This is a rule you must adhere to even if you don't particularly like an individual. Good coaching is all about principles, not personalities. During my junior years, I was playing for a team where our coach was the godfather to Joe, one of my teammates. The other players began to notice how Joe was treated differently, more favorably compared to the rest of us. It didn't matter how poor he played, he was always the first one to get picked for the next game. He also seemed to have more than his fair share of one-to-one consultations with the coach. Another obvious indicator of how the coach was favoring Joe was the way he would praise him up all the time for his efforts, even when he hadn't done anything particularly impressive or worthy of any real comment, let alone compliment. Needless to say that the coach's favoring created an unavoidable distance between Joe and the rest of the team. We came to realize that no matter how well or how poorly we played, Joe would always be the one to get the attention. He constantly got his pats on the back and one-to-one appraisals to help him improve whenever he made a slip, far more so than any of the other players. The result of this persistent favoring was quite damaging for team morale. In fact, over time we lost about a third of our players because they just couldn't play on a team where one player was blatantly favored over the others to the point where the coach was coaching an individual more than he was coaching a team. I stuck it out until the end of that season. In hindsight, though, I wish I hadn't stayed on it as it was a wasted year. Whenever a player isn't getting coached or coached properly, then he isn't developing his game, and that's not good for him as an individual, and it's not good for the team as a whole. If you're serious about coaching, then it's important to treat all players on the team equally. This is something that is often easier said than done, not least because there will be times when you genuinely want to help some guys over others for all kinds of different reasons. But being impartial is something that you have to learn to do if you're passionate about this job. You especially have to be mindful of not being biased whenever there are friends or relatives on the team or about to join the team that you're coaching. Such is the nature of people that there will always be one or two players who will feel hard done by thinking you are favoring others over them, even if you're